The Czech Books You Must Read.
The Lake by Bianca Belová. Bianca Belová is a translator, interpreter and writer with a number of highly successful books to her name. Her works include Sentimentalny Roman, or Sentimental Novel, which describes the trials of growing up near the end of the communist regime, the novella Mrtvý muž, or Dead Man, which tells the story of a traumatized family during the normalization 1970s, and the novella Celý den se nic nestane, or Nothing Happens All Day, a story about interpersonal relationships and infidelity. All of them reveal her great narrative talent and understanding of the human psyche, impressing critics and readers alike. However, it was her 2016 novel Jezero, The Lake, which really transcended borders, winning the EU Prize for Literature and the Czech Republic's Magnesia Litera Book of the Year Award. The Lake, which has been translated into 20 languages, is a powerful archetypal story of a young boy who fights his way out of a tough environment as he searches for his roots in a fictitious land, with references to a past Soviet occupation. In this edition of Czech Books You Must Read, Daniela Lazarová talks to Bianca Belová about her captivating novel.
What Nami likes best is going to the harbour, where sometimes he runs into people from his neck of the woods, sailors from the oil tankers and fishermen with deep salty wrinkles. He doesn't know how to talk to them, so he just takes a seat at a table next to theirs and drinks Russian tea from a tall glass as he listens in on the men's conversation. They talk about torn nets, withered trees, their moody women, how many of their neighbours have come down with cancer, and almost always their visits to the brothel or their plans to go again.
A short excerpt there from The Lake, an award-winning novel by writer, translator and interpreter Bianca Belová. Welcome to the studio, Bianca.
Good morning and thank you for the invite.
Now, The Lake is a powerful story about a young boy growing up in extreme circumstances. Could you just say in a few words what kind of world it is?
It is a world which is quite hostile. It is a world where the character has to find his whereabouts and ways to survive. And this is made even harder because he's growing up with our parents.
It seems that you like to place your characters in extreme circumstances.
Yes.
Where they have to ask themselves questions and make life-changing decisions. What doors does that open to you as a writer?
Yes, that is true. I do try to put my characters against challenges and equip them with some basic arms made of their upbringing, the love of their family, and the humans around them. And I try to play with how they are going to succeed in that challenge, and very often they fail.
I know you're not keen on activist literature, but is this your way of addressing issues that you care about without moralizing and without being boring, by telling a story?
I guess so. It is. I do have a problem answering these sort of questions because it is like, if you know Luis Borges and the Borgesian conundrum, he said, you don't know whether the author is writing a book or the book is writing the author. So the themes and the inspiration comes to me without me often realizing it and knowing about it. So I just start writing and just, I'm pretty much an observer or some sort of medium, and something happens without my kind of big plan behind it.
So it was a story you had deep inside you for
I guess
a long
so, yes.
time possibly
I guess,
and had
yeah,
to tell.
I've been probably waiting all my life for it to come out.
Well, the lake is wonderfully written. You paint a perfect picture down to the smallest details, the atmosphere, the interpersonal relations, people's resignation to their fate, the way that they live their daily lives as best as they can under oppression, mm-hmm. In the midst of environmental devastation, yet you manage to capture brief moments of happiness and kindness. Mm-hmm. In this very, very harsh world, and making it all very believable. Did you draw on what you saw and heard, possibly as a child, in the Eastern Bloc states pre-1989?
Yeah, that was... thank you for the observation. That's pretty much, I believe, the my way of interpreting the text is... this is pretty much a text about the ex-Soviet... part of the world with all its traumas, its architecture, its habits, the way of thinking of the people who live there.
Why did you choose to tell it through the eyes of a young boy coming of age? And why did you pit him against so much? Because what we have in the book, there is all kinds of evil. There's environmental devastation, oppression. He has no parents, no kin. There's local superstition, lynch law, everything. One thing might have been enough. Why did you make him face so much?
I don't know. He does have a very, very hard faith, and I wouldn't want to be in his shoes, and I wouldn't even want to read about him, to be honest. But it is, as I said, I didn't choose him. He chose me to be written about. And I think he manages through the little bits of humanity that are... pushed in his way at the right moment when he needs them the most. So it's always the little bits of happiness or sunshine that somehow come at the right time in our lives that make us move forward.
And you chose a young boy developing because a young boy would go in search of answers,
Possibly.
Rather than a grown-up experiencing this.
I cannot answer. It was a moment where all those memories or these little stories that I was treasuring probably since my childhood came up, and they had to be exploited.
I'm not going to say how it ends and spoil mm-hmm. it for readers, but mm-hmm. is there light at the end of the tunnel, or is it a dire warning? And did you work with different options for an ending as you created it?
I think the ending is pretty much up to the reader to interpret it for themselves. You could, and many readers do, see it as a happy ending, and some readers are a bit devastated by the ending.
What kind of feedback did you get from the different countries where it's been published? Did people in poor regions of the post-communist world find echoes of the time? Did they recognise it, relate to it more when you have debates with them?
That's pretty much true, that I did have this kind of reactions from the people in, say, Poland or Latvia, who've had the same or similar experience with the presence of the Soviet army or the oppression, and they even like could relate to the barracks buildings, because this is how they remembered them. And for people who haven't got the same experience, like Italy or Japan, they are more drawn to the narrative line of the story.
I suppose you've just answered my next question, which was because The Lake has won the EU Prize for Literature as well as the Czech Magnesia Litera Award for Book of the Year. And I wanted to ask you what you ascribe its great success and the fact that it has transcended borders. And I suppose it is this, that the post-communist people in the post-communist world found something they can relate to, and the others found something novel. An idea of what life may have been like.
I think it's probably up to others to explain this, but I think personally that it is quite a simple story, which is quite linear, but it's got a pretty universal message, and it's like pretty much like Ulysses going into the world and finding out something about himself and coming back home. So this is pretty much the same kind of pattern, which is familiar to a lot of readers. So I think it's probably one of the reasons. And there is a childhood, and everybody can relate to childhood. Everybody's got childhood memories and some challenges they had to go through. So I guess this is the universal kind of nature of the text.
It's an incredibly successful book. It's been translated into how many languages so
20.
Far? 20 languages. Mm. Why has it not been translated into English yet? And when can readers look forward to it? Because that was, you know, I would expect it to be translated into English first, or almost.
Well, first of all, the English-speaking market is incredibly challenging. I know that in the UK it's only about 5% of the books which are published are translations. So to put your foot in that market as a nobody is quite difficult. And my agent succeeded nevertheless. He eventually, after about 3 years of efforts, managed to sell the rights to a very nice, friendly Canadian publishing house, which, however, didn't survive the coronavirus pandemics. So I think it is the process. It's either been the translation has either been completed or is in the process of being translated by Alex Zucker. And the excerpts that I've read is translated by him, and I think it's an excellent translation. But we have to find a publishing house yet.
Wait some time more before it comes out, because there are so many English-speaking readers around the world who would enjoy it, I think. So I'd like to ask you to read another small selection from it for us just now.
Nami shares his room with 11 other men. They come home so tired that at night they just collapse into their beds and fall asleep. They're so used to bedbugs at this point, they don't even bother. Once Nami lifted his mattress and discovered thousands of them all over the bed frame. The men don't have strength to argue, not even to masturbate. Every so often Nami remembers Zaza, but the memory is always tainted by the image of a Russian rear end moving up and down, so he quickly banishes it from his mind. His muscles are growing. He scarcely speaks to the other men apart from exchanging greetings in the washroom in the morning. One morning he wakes with a start before he even opens his eyes. A shock of realization runs through him as he feels his muscles stiffen. The light from the electric bulb on the ceiling pours through his closed eyelids into his head. His heart pounds wildly. With each beat, his fingers seem to get longer and shorter again. He doesn't even need to reach under his pillow to know that the purple sock with his savings in it is gone. He presses his hands firmly against the blanket, eyes still shut. No point looking around. No one will tell him anything anyway. He was stupid. The money he was saving up to buy a coat is gone. From now on, earnings go in his underwear, that's it, attached with a safety pin. He grits his teeth and sticks it out in the dormitory till spring.
Award-winning author Bianca Belova and her highly successful novel, The Lake. Definitely worth a read when it hits bookstores in your country. Thank you for coming to the studio, Bianca, and for your wonderful work.
Thank you so much for the invitation.